Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 11. It begins on page 1008 in your pew Bible. And if you would hold your place there and turn also to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 18, beginning on page 528 in your pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is the word of the Lord. Christ is the founder and perfecter of your faith. Your salvation depends upon Him. Your salvation depends upon what He has done for you. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. The gospel does not concern something you have done. The gospel concerns something Christ has done. The gospel concerns what Christ has done for you. Your salvation depends upon Him. Your salvation depends upon God. It was God who has purposed your salvation. God purposed your salvation from all eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In love, He predestined you for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. The gospel is not to the praise of your glory. The gospel is to the praise of God's glory. The gospel is to the praise of God's grace. You did not purpose your own salvation. God purposed your salvation. He did this before you were born. He did this before the world was created. He did this not for anything done by you, not for anything seen within you, but according to His grace alone. Just as it was the work of God to plan your salvation, so also it was the work of God to accomplish your salvation. He planned your salvation from all eternity, and He has accomplished your salvation in history. He has accomplished your salvation for you, apart from you, through the obedience of His Son, through the obedience of Christ unto death, and through His resurrection from the dead. Your salvation, it does not depend upon you. You are not the founder of your faith. Even faith itself is not your own work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Why? So that no one may boast. You are not the founder of your faith. Christ is the founder of your faith. And you are not the perfecter of your faith. Christ is the perfecter of your faith. You cannot have Him for the founding of your faith, but not for the perfection of your faith. The church has tried that before. But what did Paul say to the church in Galatia when she tried? When she sought after Christ as the founder of her faith, but not as the perfecter of her faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? The church was seeking after another gospel, which is no gospel at all. There is only one gospel, the gospel that concerns Christ, Christ who is the founder and perfecter of your faith. And so, as it was the work of God to purpose your salvation from all eternity, as it was the work of God to accomplish your salvation for you in history, so also it is the work of God to apply that salvation to you in this life. In due time, as we read in the confession. God is the perfecter of your faith. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He will bring it to completion. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. When you will what is pleasing to God, when you do what is pleasing to God, it is God Himself who is at work in you to enable you to do such things. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, it is God who equips you with every good thing to do His will. It is God who works in you that which is pleasing in His sight. Your salvation from its beginning to its end is the work of God according to His grace, to the praise of His glory. You did not plan your salvation. You did not accomplish your salvation. You cannot complete your salvation. You are dependent upon Christ for everything that you have. You are dependent upon Christ for everything that you are. He is the founder. He is the perfecter of your faith. You were dependent upon Him for the planning of your salvation. You were dependent upon Him for the accomplishment of your salvation. And you are dependent upon Him for the completion of your salvation. The only salvation that there is for you is the one planned by God, the one accomplished by God, and the one completed by God. If you would trust in God for the planning and accomplishment of your salvation, you must also trust in Him for the completion of your salvation. Whatever that requires, whatever that costs, however unpleasant it may be for a time, is the completion of your salvation? What is the completion of your salvation? What has God saved you to be? Has God saved you to be sinners? You are sinners, saved by His grace, but has God saved you to be sinners? God has taken to Himself a sinful people, but has God saved you to be a sinful people? Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, chosen by God in Christ. For what? That you should be holy and blameless before Him. That is the completion of your salvation. That is the completion of the good work which God has begun in you, to be holy, to be blameless before Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that you should walk in them. The goal of your salvation is holiness. That you would be holy as the Lord your God is holy, to the praise of His glorious grace. The completion of your salvation depends upon God. Christ is the founder and perfecter of your faith. And so if you would have your salvation completed in Him, you must trust in Him to do it. But how does He do it? How do you become holy? It is not your own work, it is the work of God. But how does God make you holy? In Hebrews chapter 12, we are reminded how God makes you holy. Through discipline. The Lord disciplines you. The Lord disciplines you for your good. The Lord disciplines you that you may share His holiness. And when the Lord disciplines you, He is treating you as a son. For this is how He treated His own son. His only son. His son whom He loved. And whom He is well pleased. This is how Christ Himself became perfect. And the work of salvation for us, this is how Christ Himself became perfect, through discipline. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Christ learned obedience through what he suffered. Christ was sanctified. Christ became holy through suffering. Christ was made perfect through the discipline of the Lord. Is a servant greater than his master? Are you greater than Christ? If this is how Christ learned discipline, how do you think you will learn discipline? If this is how Christ learned obedience, how do you think you will learn obedience? You're united to Christ. And if you are united to Christ, you are united to him in his death and resurrection. If you are united to Christ, you are being conformed to the image of Christ, becoming like him in his death, so that you may become like him in his resurrection. And the salvation which he has accomplished for you is now at work in you. The gospel accomplished for you is now at work in you. You are united to Christ. You are united to the founder and perfecter of your faith. You are united to the one who learned obedience through what he suffered. And so you must also learn obedience through what you suffer. This is why you are to look to Christ. This is why you are to look to Christ in your suffering. This is why you are to look to Christ when you are burdened in your struggle against sin. That you might remember what he became for you. That you might remember what he endured for you. So that you might not grow weary or faint-hearted. So that you might also endure. So that you might also persevere, knowing what lays before you. Knowing what lies before you in him. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. But you might. God might require that of you. God has the right to require that of you. The church to whom Hebrews was first written struggling to remain faithful. They were struggling to remain faithful in the midst of persecution. I thought Christ shed His blood for me. Surely God would not want me to shed His blood for Him. Here the church is reminded that that is part of your life in Christ. Suffering is part of your life in Christ. Struggling against sin, even unto death, is part of your life in Christ. And when you suffer, whatever it is, it is not the anger of the Lord against you. It is the discipline of the Lord for you. God uses suffering to discipline you, that you might learn obedience through what you suffer. It is not for your destruction. It is for your good. It is for the completion of your salvation. It is God treating you as a son. It is an expression of His love. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 8, verse 37? What does he say of tribulation, of distress, of persecution, of famine, of nakedness, of danger, of sword? What does he say of those things that were once expressions of God's wrath and curse toward His people? That in these things we are to be regarded as sheep to be slaughtered? No, that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God disciplines you for your good. If He did not discipline you, you would not be His son. If a father loves his child, he must discipline his child. A father who does not discipline his child does not love his child. A child who always gets his way A child who always speaks back A child who was never corrected. A child who was never disciplined. That child is hated by his father. The father who disciplines his child loves his child. Discipline. It is the mark, a mark of the church. Discipline is a mark of the true church. Whenever we hear of church discipline, whenever we experience church discipline, our first response, more often than not, is, "Why are you punishing me? Why do you hate me?" The church must discipline you if it is to love you. The discipline of the church is for your good. A church that does not discipline her people does not love God's people. And so it is with your Heavenly Father. When He disciplines you, He is treating you as your as His son. When God disciplines you, He is treating you as His son, which you are. And if you are His son, you should then expect that He will discipline you. And when He does, you may know that it is for your good. All mankind suffers in this life. Both the righteous and the unrighteous, the believer and the unbeliever, all mankind suffers in this life. But only the believer, only you may know that what you suffer is for your good. Only you may know that whatever you suffer it is the discipline of the Lord for your good, that you may share His holiness. Even when it's painful, especially when it's painful, discipline is not pleasant. If it were, we wouldn't call it discipline. But it is worth it. For it yields the fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. It is how God brings your salvation to completion. In Proverbs chapter 3, the one who is disciplined by God, the one who is reproved by God, what does he gain? He gains the wisdom of God. He gains the tree of life. God completes your salvation in you through his discipline of you. The discipline of the Lord includes your suffering in this world. When you see one another suffering, your response should not be, "See how angry God is with you." No, when you see one another suffering, your response must be, "See how much God loves you." You are his son. You belong to him. And he will soon present you to himself, holy and blameless, to the praise of his glory and grace. Amen and amen. Let us pray.